Hey, Mark.
Hey, Katie.
Hey, you want to do a podcast?
Yeah.
Sweet. Okay. Welcome to the Unforget Yourself show, where we use the power of woo and the proof of science to help you identify your blind spots, get over your own bullshit, so that you can do the fucking thing you actually want to do.
Absolutely. I'm Mark.
And I'm Katie.
And we're the founders of Unforget Yourself and the creators of the Unforget Yourself system. Look, being a business owner is tough.
Yeah.
With vulnerability and with humor, mm-hmm. we'll be sharing with you the real stories behind the success of those brave and crazy enough to start their own business. And to show you that you're not alone.
You're not. Well, from the accidental entrepreneur to the laser-focused CEO, we have honest conversations about how they got to where they are today. We talk about the challenges that they faced and what they're currently dealing with in real time on their roller coaster journey. Along the way, we want to show you that it's you. You are the most important asset in your business.
Yeah, you are. So let's cut the bullshit and start the show.
Enjoy.
Okay, hello everyone and welcome to the show. Now, just a quick interruption to your normally scheduled podcast. Are you thinking about starting your own podcast? Or maybe you have a podcast, but it's an expensive hobby or a labor of love. But what if a podcast wasn't just a podcast? Imagine turning your ideas, your skills, your gift into a profitable business tool. At Profitable Podcasts, we help coaches and entrepreneurs to create, launch, and monetize their podcasts with ease, to build visibility and authority, and attract leads and clients easy and simply by giving value to being yourself. To skip the overwhelm, never-ending social media, emails, workshops, networking, and attract your perfect clients, all without spending a thing on ads. So if you're ready to make your voice your most powerful asset, let's talk. Out or head over to profitablepodcast.com to see how this works for you. Now, to your Chedge podcast episode. So today we have Diane Sorensen, founder of Beautiful Behavior Coaching, who helps burn out perfectionists and exhausted mothers to transform their relationships through boundary setting and self-worth development. Through her unique blend of behavioral science and based practices, Diane guides women to foster deeper connections, trust their parenting decisions, draw from 30 years of childhood education experience. Now, Diane's journey, fast teacher to transformational coach, demonstrates how nutritional approaches carry extraordinary impacts and while evolving from mindsets to embrace possibilities, helping mothers bridge the gap from chaos empowerment in their parenting, so their relationships. And welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I am honored to be here.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. So to kick us off, can you expand a touch more on where you are today with your business and who is it that you love to work with?
Yeah, so I am a transformational coach and hypnotherapy practitioner, and I help women feel more calm, confident, and connected in their parenting journey and in their personal growth, in their relationships. And my own love of children, I have loved children since I was a child. And my own parenting experience really fuels this passion to help mothers thrive and not just survive.
Okay, so that calm, confident, and connected, I think we all want that. That's what we're all looking for. And I love the way you touch on all these different areas. You're like, it's not just about being a parent or a mom. It's about being for yourself. You can do it for business, for your relationship. This is a skill set and awareness that you can have across the board. But tell me about how your experience fueled this. So as entrepreneurs, we have this passion, we have this reason why we got into this. What was that for you?
Yeah, so like you said, I spent 30 years in early education, working directly with children and also working with parents and educators the last 15 years of that to help them create more connection and ease in their relationships. And what fueled me to go down that path actually again was my own parenting journey and my own relationship journey, where, you know, I used to look for others to change. Like, you know, if my children would just listen, my life would work better. If my husband would get on board with, I don't know, my way, things would, I would feel better. If my mother would stop judging me, my world would work better. And what I came to, what as I was trying to change other people or expected them to, that didn't work so well. And I got to a point where I realized, you know, it's I'm the common denominator in all of these relationships. And so I started to get curious about that. And that curiosity kind of opened the door a little bit. And then things just happened. And
can I suppose you pause you there? That curiosity, I love that word. It's a beautiful entry point to everything, that with curiosity, anything's possible. But yeah, that line you said, if people just do what I say, things be better. I've lived and breathed this. I know that so deeply. If people just do exactly what I say, I can, as a problem solver, as a visionary, I can see these things. Come on, people, just whether it's kids, Katie, clients, partners, friends, strangers, just, I can see this, just do this. But it's external. It's external. And I was searching for something that was outside of me, not knowing there's something I'm trying to fulfill within. So I think I can so align with what you just said there. So this curiosity, as you open the door to this, what happened?
Yeah. So, you know, I just remember there was a moment one day I thought, maybe this has to do more with me. And then I didn't know what that meant. And I kind of just let it go. And went on. And then what happened was, you know, the books started falling off the shelf. You know, things just were coming to me. And I went to a conference, an education conference, and I went to this breakout class. And it was all about relationship-based approach to, and in that time, it was a classroom. So it was shifting from the focus on behavior to the focus on the relationship between the adult and the child. And something there just spoke deeply to me. And I remember thinking, I am not sure what this is, but I need to know more about this. This is something big. And so I started learning and I trained and I started bringing these practices into my classroom. And what happened from there was it started getting noticed. Like, you know, supervisors and, you know, administration people would start coming to my classroom. And after a while, I'm like, why are you here? They're like, oh, I was just in town because we runners all are part of the state. And what I found out later was that people were going back to the administration saying there's something different happening in that classroom. They couldn't put it in words. So they said, you just got to go and experience it. What happened was the culture was different. People said it, they couldn't put words to it, but they said it felt different.
Mm.
And so that just changed everything for me. I started using these practices at home in my own parenting. And every relationship of mine started to shift. And the exciting thing was nobody did anything different. They weren't doing anything different, but I was responding to them in a different way because I was understanding what was going on inside for me in my own patterns. So that led to parents noticing and then starting to ask me, would you work outside of the school system with us personally? And so it just, things just lined up. I never thought of this would be my path, but things lined up and here I am. I eventually left the school system and now I work with a lot of moms.
Nice. This, the tale of the accidental entrepreneur, when these things fall into place, people are asking you to do things. I mean, whether it's how you start your business or like us, as we're continuing to evolve our business, you follow these nudges, these winks, what people are asking for, what you enjoy doing. And so with that curiosity, things started to just drop into place. Things coming in. You started this, I don't know what it is, but there's something here. And you, the people around you, I don't know what it is, but there's something in what you're doing. We have no idea, but we're drawn. So it's energetic.
Yes, it was like I was being drawn from something within me because, you know, the old me would just is like, well, I just go along with what everybody else is doing, right? Go along to get along. Don't make any waves. Don't rock the boat. That was the only
worst advice ever, from boundaries, from putting as business owners, helping other people, giving away stuff for free, over delivering, undercharging with family, with parenting, with friends, being able to not say what you want, be able to do things for other people, because if I rock the boat, they're going to be upset. You're on the Unforget Yourself show. We forget ourselves. We need to unforget, remember, hey,
we abandon ourselves
yeah
to please others. And it starts in childhood, right? It starts in childhood where we're trying to gain the approval of our parents. We're trying not to get into trouble.
And it works. On one occasion, it works. And we banked
it. It serves us then. And then what happens is we bring these same patterns into our adult life. And then they start to work against us. And they start to sabotage us and keep us stuck. But they are what's getting our attention to say, oh, this actually needs to be dissolved so you can continue to evolve and grow.
Okay, so let's talk about that, because with your clients, that awareness, sometimes we think it's a good trait. I mean, I was so proud of myself. I'll do anything for other people. I will over deliver.
And it's rewarded in the culture, right?
Yeah.
It's
rewarded. We have a badge of honor. It's an excuse. You can't tell me I'm doing something wrong because look, it's a good thing. Therefore, there's my protection layer, if you will. So how do you help, or what's it like for your clients once they start to, maybe for the first time, see these patterns, see what they're doing, and then seeing that it's actually playing into this? What's that journey like for them?
Yeah, it's uncomfortable. and that's the thing. We build tolerance for discomfort. Because here's what happens. We learn to do what we need to do to gain short-term comfort. And what happens is we then have long-term resentment. Because we say yes to everything. We're trying to make everybody happy. But in the long run, it's like, well, wait a minute. Who's taking care of me? And who's, you know, nobody's appreciating what I'm doing for them. And who's taking care of my feelings? Right. And nobody's really being responsible. This is not boundaries. This is the opposite of boundaries.
That equation, just put that on a t-shirt. Short-term comfort equals long-term resentment.
Resentment.
Summed up beautifully. And then everything starts to crumble with ourselves, where there's frustration, patience goes.
Right.
And even maybe in parenting, maybe in family life, in entrepreneurship, that the heart-centered business, the thing you got into to help other people, you now resent that you're giving so much. And it actually starts to wear away at your very soul.
Yes. And boundaries will set you free. I've had to do my own transformational work. And when I learned boundaries, that is one of the most validating and liberating things that I have done, because then I'm no longer abandoning myself.
But it's so hard. I mean, logically, this makes sense. But let's talk about a boundary. Let's talk about entrepreneurship, clients. Maybe you've got a client that's a bit of a pain in the bum, that you've actually allowed that to happen, to continue to work. And it's taken a lot of your time, your resources, maybe your team. To be able to reset a boundary, it can be so terrifying that I don't want to lose the client. I don't want to annoy them. I don't want to be seen as someone who is making things harder, which is all false beliefs. But it can be so hard. We can justify why we can't do this out of, there it is. It's out of fear for them rather than love for ourselves. So can you just expand a bit on logically we all get this, I'm sure we do, but it's in
So
reality
here,
it's hard.
yes, and I'm going to reframe hard with uncomfortable.
Okay.
It's emotionally uncomfortable. And we are capable of working through emotional discomfort. And this is short-term discomfort for long-term fulfillment and genuine service. Because if we are rescuing people and saying, "Oh, I'll just do it on, late tonight. I'm going to extend myself because I don't want to lose them as a client and lose the money and just all those things you said." We are not really genuinely serving them. We are serving ourselves at the cost of the client because we're going to end up resentful, right? And we're not going to be able to serve them from a genuine place. And to be honest with you, I would rather lose the client and the money than to be out of my integrity and not coming serving them from a true, genuine place. And the other thing is that I will hold them capable. They are capable of working through this in within the boundaries that we have set up. So one of the tools I use, Mark, is I mentioned rescuing them. So there is a tool that has been tremendously helpful to me personally, and I use it in my coaching practice as well, is the drama roll or the drama triangle. And the drama triangle was created by, if I can get this right, Stephen Cartman, I believe. And then the empowerment triangle by was created by David Emerald. I may have got those two mixed up, but anyway, those are the two men that created these triangles. The drama triangle is to gain our awareness that, we're out of integrity, is just the simplest way to say it. And the empowerment dynamic is a counter to that. The drama triangle really, if we're talking about leadership, is reactive leadership. And what we were talking about was, oh, well, I'm just gonna do it because, I don't want to lose them and all of that stuff. And the empowerment dynamic is really responsive leadership. That's where we are in our integrity and coming from a place of true leadership and raising our clients up rather than trying to rescue them.
Okay, so the drama triangle, when we're in that place of out of integrity, we're in reactive leadership. We're reactive. We're in empowerment is responsive. There's one thing that you said there that I want to sort of touch on, these false beliefs that people might leave me, they may lose, they may ask a refund, they may not want to be around me, where it's professional, personal, what have you. These false beliefs, and that's what they are, might not happen. I heard this morning and I want to drop this in because I think it's beautifully timed. Is it possible? Is it probable? So, is it possible that they could leave you? Absolutely, it's physically possible, but is it probable? One example, and maybe you can expand this or a different example. There was a guest on our podcast that was like, "Oh, you're going to be a fantastic guest." I sent them five reminder emails to say, "Hey, I would love for you to be a guest." And my emotion was, even though we teach this stuff, was like, maybe I shouldn't send that fifth email. And what reply did we get? Rather than, "Can you stop hounding me?" It was like, "Mark, I am so, so sorry. Thank you so much for the reminder." Yes. That for me is the validation that I need to remember that this false thing we happen, people might and should be very thankful for the reminder, for the boundaries, for allowing them to empower themselves. So that false belief might not happen. So can you expand a touch more on that? Because that is, we need that proof to be able to do this.
Yeah. And so when we're in the empowerment dynamic, really that's where boundaries are. In the drama triangle, we don't have boundaries. We're just, you know, trying to please everybody and gain their approval and, you know, at their expense, actually. And we do this in business. We can do it in any relationship, parenting, whatever it is. And you're exactly right. When we are in that empowerment dynamic, that challenger in us can challenge those beliefs and say, is that really true? Is he going to be annoyed because you've sent 5 emails? Well, maybe it's true. The thing here is if I believe it's true, then how do I react? Right? If I believe he's going to be annoyed, how does that feel? And how do I react to that?
Can we pause on that? Because that hit home. If I believe this negative outcome, this, if I believe that's true, this is the energy, the ingredients that you fuel every action, every word, every interaction. Subconsciously, it's being seen. So if you believe this is true, that you're a nuisance, that you're no good, that that isn't good, that insert the blank. If you believe it's true, your actions, your words, your very vibration and frequency is different, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And it impacts how people experience you. And so even like with our children, if, you know, there's so many cultural beliefs around parenthood, right? Just the one where, and maybe we don't say this, but there's it's implied that a good parent has a well-behaved child, right? Our goodness as a parent is attached to the behavior of a young child. And if we believe that somehow their behavior means something about me, who do we become? How do we react to our child? We act defensively. We, take their stuff away or whatever it is we do to try and change that behavior. When we come from it from a place of the empowerment triangle and a place from putting the relationship at the forefront and how I react or respond to them, what's happening within me? Well, I'm making that mean that I'm a bad parent because they're, doing whatever, talking back to me. If I make that mean I'm a bad parent, I'm probably not going to respond to them very well. And unknowingly and unwittingly, we can become a threat to them. They experience us in a different way that, is stressful, right? And then that stress just fuels the behavior we don't want. I'm not sure if I answered the question you gave me, but
I don't really care because I think this is beautiful. What you're saying here is the meaning that we assign to it. What are we attaching to our beliefs and our actions? So how we're coming across, if I believe this to be true, this negative, that I'm a pest or I'm not good at this or I'm failing as a parent, I will show up with that vibration, with the words, with the actions, and then I become a threat or a stressor. And actually, I get the very results that I'm trying to avoid.
Yes. Yes. Boom.
I say I love that. It's frustrating. But once you can see these triangles, once you can see these cycles, once you have awareness, step one, what's the quote? I'm going to butcher this. The truth will set you free, but first it'll piss you off. The truth is there. It's like, ah, oh, damn
We
it.
don't want to look at ourselves, right? It's like, we live in such a blame culture. It's like, it's them, it's that, it's the other thing. But when we look at ourselves and actually own it, just take ownership of it, that is really freeing. Because when we're trying to deny it, there's a lot of shame there, right? And shame grows with silence. If we're blaming somebody else, there's shame behind that somehow. And so when we turn it towards ourselves, and own it, that right there is liberating. Because now we can go, oh, okay. And now we can make some shifts. So, like, even as a business owner, you mentioned, oh, I'm a pest. Well, when I first came into business ownership, entrepreneurship, that thought was there all the time. Like, I'm a problem, I'm an inconvenience, I'm pestering them. And what happened? Well, I didn't gain clients because why would I? I wasn't inviting them in. They didn't feel invited in. It was a different energy. Now, I don't see myself as a pest. I see myself as a leader and creator and invite people in, and they get to decide what they do with that.
Love that. And this it evolves as we evolve. This is never, it's not like a one and done. It's going to always, this challenger, this protection response, it's inbuilt with there's and for good reason. But so as you've grown involved as an entrepreneur, it's taken you on a journey. So to not feel like you're pestering people or trying to get the sale or how do people find me or there's a lot that we go through as when you fell into being an accidental entrepreneur. You had to learn all these things, marketing,
Oh,
sales,
yes.
delivery, all the
Very
things that.
triggering, very triggering.
So what's it like for you now as you continue to grow and evolve and you found your voice, you're finding your next voice, you're going through the layers. Maybe your boundaries and people pleasing tendencies have been, okay, I've got over those at the next level, but then you come to a new challenge and realize, oh, hello, old friend. They're showing up in different ways. What's that like for you to hold both these sides? You teach and coach this, and as you evolve, as you grow, you see them again
Really
in different ways.
fascinating. I mean, there's a lot of discomfort. It's messy. It's beautiful. It's all of it, really. It really, it's it really there's an aliveness about it. Rather than surviving life, like, the old me was a prover, oh, I'm going to prove myself by being the best at, whatever it is I was doing. I'm going to prove myself. And that's really that approval seeker in me. And I've been able to work with that part of me and really acknowledge her. I love her to pieces because she has done a quite a great job for me through the years. And now she gets to relax a little bit. And yeah, it's really a beautiful journey as I continue to evolve. And you're right. There, you go through this, it's like, we learn almost that life is linear, but actually it's circular. And it's like a spiral, you keep going around and then you go to the next level and you go around again and you go to the next level and you go around again. So yeah, it's just an evolving and expanding and yeah, it's beautiful. Beautiful is what comes to mind. And I guess that's why my podcast is called Beautiful Behavior.
Oh, lovely. But what I took from what you just said, that aliveness, it triggered me to realize there's no good or bad, it's just information. So this uncomfortable, it's messy, it's beautiful, it's amazing, it's bad, it's frustrating, and it's where evolution lives. That if there is no good or bad, it just is. Either one of those things is not necessarily fundamentally a bad negative thing. It's just part of the, it means you're alive. It means you're experiencing. So if we can remove those stigma, good and bad, it just is from that place, we start to remove that. The meaning, the emotion, and see it for what it truly is, which is Oh, hello, old friend. Look at you. Oh, you're not a big problem. You're just this.
Right. Yes. I love the word experience life because I think in an earlier version of me, I wasn't so much experiencing life, I was surviving it. I was trying to, not have certain things happen and have other, improving yourself. Proving yourself is a survival skill, strategy. Proving yourself to be accepted, and it's kind of the running away from what you don't want instead of moving towards what you do want. And now I just feel like I am experiencing life. Like I don't think of things as, oh my gosh, this is a big problem. What I think of it is, oh, this is a challenge, and I'm capable of figuring this out. It
That's good.
allows me to take risk, which an earlier version of me would have n did not take risk. And I take
But
risk.
with curiosity, the word you said at the start of this interview, if you can approach that with that curiosity,
Yeah.
and I mean, even if a bad thing does happen, maybe that client does leave you, that friend does not want to be around you, because if you don't give them everything, they don't respect you and they do leave you. And sometimes you can sit there, no good or bad, and like, oh yeah, that client left. Well, I saved up so much of my time. It showed who they were. There's a to see that information for what it truly is and realize that most things, there's not that many things I can look back on and realize, oh, that was a big mistake and it cost a monumental change in my life. There's not many of those things. In a moment, it might feel like it. But after the event, even just a minute later, an hour later, a day later, it's like, oh, you worried about that? It's not even on my radar anymore. So
Right.
there's the experience that you talk about.
Yeah, and every challenge is a catalyst for growth.
Diane, look, thank you. We can talk for hours on this. I've loved this conversation. You've shared so much wisdom. Look, thank you so much for sharing amazing principles, some great questions. And about your business and kind of your evolution of you as you've grown as an entrepreneur. So thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you for having me. This has been a big honor. Thank you.
Welcome. Look, for those people that want to know more about you and the incredible work that you do, how can they find you? How can they download?
Yeah. Well, they can find me at Beautifully Podcast. So I invite you to come over and take a listen. I'm also on Instagram at DianeSorensen.bb for beautiful behavior. And I've got a website, DianeSorensen.net. So you can find me in all of those places. And yeah.
Fantastic. Well, if you're curious or think, hell yeah, this sounds fantastic, jump on over, have a listen, chat, start a conversation. Say Mark sent you and enjoy it. But again, look, Diane, thank you so much. It's been wonderful.
Thank you, Mark.
Hey, Katie.
Yeah, Mark.
Want to do an outro?
I sure do.
Sweet. Hey, thank you so much for listening and making it to the end.
Yay, you.
So what happens next?
We ask them the things that podcasters are supposed to ask at the end of an episode.
Can you please rate, review, download?
Subscribe. Yeah.
But why is it important?
Because that's how our podcast gets noticed.
It's how people find us.
It is, and we want all their earballs.
All the earballs all over the place.
We do.
Nice.
Yeah, so please do all those things. We'll be ever so grateful.
And then more people hear your beautiful voice.
Or yours.
See you next time.
Bye.